reason that it will not be is because of us, because God desires to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we pray here tonight, let's go in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27, we'll begin reading at verse number 40. The Bible said, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands, hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground and the forepart stuck fast and remained immovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Praise God. With the help of the Lord here tonight, I want to preach about the reality of revival. Amen. The reality of revival. Amen. I want to be able to help somebody tonight. Amen. I want to help myself tonight. Praise God. Why don't we go to the Lord and we're going to pray, and let's remember to pray for those that are sick in body and not here tonight as well. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come unto you.
God, I'm praying that you would reach down and that you would touch Sister Tiffany and Brother Greg. Bind that sickness in the name of Jesus. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you would touch Sister Christine and that you would be with her. I pray, God, for Mira. I pray, Lord, for our Bible studies that are ongoing. I'm praying, God, for the future Bible studies, for the doors to open up, O Lord Jesus. So praying, O Lord Jesus, that you would help us here tonight, that your Spirit would minister, would move amongst us, Lord. Not our will, but thine will be done. In the lovely name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord, and God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. I'm praying this week, and Lord has been so kind to deal with me concerning some things, and it has become part of my prayer, and I just began to pray this weekend as I was going down the road several different times, began to talk to the Lord, and I don't consider driving down the road and talking to the Lord my prayer time, just talking to the Lord, and I began to tell the Lord, God, I want to be beneficial. I want to be effective in somebody's life. I want to be instrumental in helping change somebody's life from the bad to the good, and I want to do that. And the Lord laid somebody upon my heart, and was looking to call them, and drove by a place of business and saw them there, and just went by and saw them, talked to them for a little bit, and called them again today. And just looking for the Lord to open up doors in that area. Praise God. Amen. I don't know if it's all the pollen or what, but it is, may have been just Sunday night, but something, frog jumped up into my throat, and not doing too well on the vocal cords right now, but praise the Lord. And so as I began to pray even today, I began to think to myself, you know, the Bible teaches us in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we see this, and we know that God is not willing that any should die lost. God is not willing that anybody should go to hell. Amen. God does not want anybody to go to hell. And in reality, God is not going to send anybody to hell. Amen. You will send yourself if you wind up being lost. It's not going to be because that you did not have an opportunity to find grace in the time of need and to find repentance. You're going to be offered that somewhere in the course of your life. And some places will be honored enough that you'll be around and apostolic, and it'll be a continual front in front of you that you'll hear it and see it. And woe be unto them that deny that and reject that. And then there will be others that God will deal with, and they may only have one opportunity. I don't know. They may have multiple opportunities throughout their life. But the Bible teaches us that God is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. And so in thinking about that, I began to think about the book of Acts chapter number 2 and the very last verse where it says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. It's the will of God that somebody is saved on a daily basis. I understand that we here at New Life Tabernacle, Augusta, Kansas, but we are not the only representatives of the Church of the Living God, that we are just a small part of a body of believers, and that chances are that somewhere in the world there are multiple people that are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in His name. But I also believe that it is the will of God that on a regular basis that somebody is receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized right here in and amongst this assembly. Amen. I believe that God wants to add to this church even daily such as should be saved. Praise God. I have prayed these things, and I have said, God, I cannot wait for the day. And some may think that this is a small thing. I'm not limiting God to any of this, but I began to pray and began to say, God, I cannot wait for the day that at the end of the year I can say we've had 12 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or we've had 12 people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which would represent at an average of one a month. And then to be able to turn back and to say, God, it's not just that we have averaged one a month, God, but it's that we saw somebody receive the Holy Ghost or somebody baptized every month of the year. And so that may only be 12, that may be 24, 36, or 50-something. And we're not going to limit God. But I do believe that it is the will of God that our altars are consistently in use by saint and sinner, and that they are praying and seeking God. I believe it's the will of God for there to be home Bible studies being taught on a continual basis in this church. And I believe, and Brother Charlie came and got me last night, we prayed there at the baptistry for some time, but I believe that it is the will of God that baptistry tank stay nice and wet, amen, on a regular basis, baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. And I understand that much of the problem or the issue may be us, that we grow too content in coming service after service after service and never inviting anybody to join us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I heard a story overseas of where that there was this big conference, and where people are very, very poor and didn't have a way to the conference. And so a way was being provided for them to go to the conference. But the only way that they could get on the bus with to travel to that conference is they had to have somebody with them that needed the Holy Ghost. And there was a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit of God there. But just sometimes I feel that we are too content with coming service after service and never inviting anybody to come to church. Aren't you thankful that somebody invited you somewhere down the line? Aren't you thankful that somebody told you about God? And maybe you was born and raised into an apostolic church, and you ought to be even so much the more grateful that you have not had to taste of the world and to feel the addictions of sin and to have the scars of sin upon you and about you. Amen. God has been good to you. And so with these thoughts, I thought, you know, God, if it's not your will that any should perish, and it is your will that you should fill somebody with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis, then why is it so hard? Amen. Why does it seem that revival is so elusive? Why does it seem like revival is always about five steps ahead of us, and just no matter how hard we try or how fast that we try, that we don't really experience revival like we want to experience it? We don't really see revival like we want to see it. No doubt that there are some of you here tonight that your greatest desire outside of making heaven your home is that somebody would be sitting beside you, or that you would lead somebody to an altar of repentance, and your good friends or your relatives or somebody that you know, amen, would be here tonight because that you played a part in inviting them and teaching them a Bible study and praying with them in the house of God. Amen. The Bible teaches us that the soul of the sluggard desires, but yet he has nothing. And so it's one thing to desire and say, you know, I wish that somebody was here and that a guest was here in the house of God. Somebody was in need of the Holy Ghost that was here. But you know, until we do something about it, then chances are it's not going to happen. I know that they can walk in off the street. I know that they can do that. Brother Wirtz and I were talking just last night, and we said how amazing it is that you can knock on a door over here and invite them to the house of God, and they may slam the door on your face. And then over here, somebody that didn't even get knocked, their door didn't even get knocked on, and they come show up to the house of God. There is a law of sowing and reaping, and that if you sow, that whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And the Bible teaches us that he that sows abundantly shall reap abundantly. But if we sow sparingly, then we shall reap sparingly as well. And so literally the lot falls and the responsibility falls upon us. Amen. It is our job. It is our responsibility to go into the highways and to the byways and to compel the lost to come, amen, that his house would be full. Praise the Lord. It is our responsibility, amen, to do these things. Praise God. And I want to see it happen. And so in my praying, as I was thinking, I said, now God, I said, why is it that when you desire to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost because you don't want anybody to be lost, but yet it seems so hard to experience that. It seems so hard to get people to come to church. It seems so hard that when you get them to come to church, you know, it's just like, you know, would you like to go pray? No. And you know, we pray with them in the altars or something. They don't get the Holy Ghost, and time rocks on and stuff. An obvious answer is that we must understand that there is an enemy that is just as adamant about not seeing people repent and not seeing people go to heaven as God is in desiring people to repent and that they would not be lost and that he could save them. Praise God. There is that friction. There is that battle. Amen. It is a spiritual battle. And the caveat, the variable in all of this is us, the church of the living God. We are the difference. Amen. Praise God. Because that there is there is an enemy that is out there in that world. And that's why that world, that this world is becoming more evil by the day. and just the violence that is out there, and the crime that is out there, and you read in the news of how that young kids are being tried for murder, 12-year-olds being tried for murder, 14-year-olds being tried for murder, and it's becoming more and more common. Amen. Back when you and I were growing up, if two kids got in a fight at high school, they fought it out, and afterwards everything was fine. There was no real there was no real I'm missing my word, but that somebody was gonna die. There was no real chance, you know, no big chance that, you know, somebody was gonna revert and go get a gun, and somebody's going to kick them in the face and while they're knocked out, pummel them, you know, and stomp on their head and all that other stuff and kill them. And it's just, they just fought their differences out, did their thing and stuff, got up and went their ways and stuff, got in trouble at the school and everything. But nevertheless, things have changed. Things have changed. And the world has just become more and more evil. And the church has got to fight that resistance. Because it's not just the enemy on the outside controlling the world, but it's the pressure that it's continuing to try to put upon the church. It's trying to restrict the church more and more. We're seeing this more in laws, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's only a matter of time before they try to tell the church that preaching against homosexuality is a hate crime. It's going to come. You know, obviously it's been in Canada for many years, but it's coming to our shores. It's coming to our place at some point in time. And it's not just that. There's going to be other things that they are going to put upon, the pressure that they are going to put upon the church. And the thing that they're going to dangle before all of the churches is that if you do this, you know, first of all, you could go to jail, but the second thing is you're going to lose your tax-exempt status. So somebody says, well, that's no big deal. We'll just pay taxes like everybody else pays taxes. There are not very many churches in this land that can pay property taxes with the amount of people that they have. We have so many churches now that are relying upon fundraisers to keep the doors open. And how are they going to be when they are having to pay, you know, an extra $5,000 to $10,000 in property taxes? And that'll be for the home missions places. What are we going to do about? We don't have that problem. But what are they going to do about all these churches that are worth millions and millions and millions of dollars? And they're going to be literally paying hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, in taxes in a year. It's coming. But nevertheless, the need for revival is still imminent amongst us and in the church. We must have revival. It's the will of God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse number 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto the Lord. It is your God-given duty to be a witness unto somebody. Praise God. And you need to begin to pray that. God, let me hear the voice of the hurting. I don't want to just hear people talk and just say, people are just talking. But clue me in that when something happens, I hear that. You know what? That's the voice of hurt. That's the voice of addiction. That's the voice of regret. That's the voice of bitterness. That's the voice of, amen. And you have the answer. Praise God. You've got the answer. Amen. And we are to be witnesses upon the face of this earth. Amen. Concerning salvation, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do for them. Praise the Lord. And so it is up to the church. You say, preacher, why do you always got to be so dogmatic about worship? Amen. And just seems like, amen, you might be happy if we were swinging from chandeliers and ceiling fans and such. And I probably wouldn't, because you'd be tearing them up. And But you know what? I am dogmatic about worship. Amen. God deserves the very best that we have. And there is a spiritual war. There is something spiritual that is happening when we begin to praise and begin to magnify God. Amen. It's more than somebody just waving their hands in the air. It's more than just somebody deciding to clap their hands unto the Lord or just clap their hands. It's more than just bouncing from foot to foot and such like that. There is a spiritual thing that is going on when we worship God. Praise God. Amen. That's why I'm going to be adamant about pre-service prayer. And I am praying diligently, amen, that our pre-service prayer would crank up about 10 to 15 notches at minimum. Amen. Because what we establish in the beginning is going to carry forth through everything. And when the sinner steps in the door, they don't need to feel, amen, a locked up Pentecostal service. When they step in the door, they need to feel liberation. They need to feel something different. They need to feel the power of God in that service. They need to see people that are liberated, amen, that have their hands in the air and that's worshiping and magnifying God, amen. They need to immediately think to themselves, there's something different about this church. Something different about this church. Amen. We went to one of those little, it wasn't real little, but we went to one of those park services out there down there at the park, and all these people accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, and people were out there, and they were singing their songs and doing their stuff, and they were talking to each other, doing, I know it wasn't really church and such, but it happens at their church, amen. That's just, they don't know how to be any different, and so you got some people that are waving their hand or whatever and stuff like that, but there's no clear, defined worship unto God that is there, amen. And so when a visitor, when a guest walks into this place, they need to sense immediately, amen, that there's something that's different. These people are connected. I've heard testimonies of people that have said, I've been going to church for X number of years, and I haven't felt God in X number of years. What a sad, sad testimony. We take for granted that we come to the house of God and that we feel God every service. And not just that we come to the house of God every service, but every day that we live, when we begin to talk and begin to pray and magnify God, we feel Him in that place. He is real. This is real. We've got something that is real. Praise God. And I'm excited about those that we have seen filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we don't need to forget the day, amen, that God filled people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wasn't too long ago God filled Henry with the Holy Ghost. We baptized him in Jesus' name. A couple of services later, Mary Ludlow received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're not giving up on them. Takes a long time to make a saint. Takes a long time to do that. Amen. But we got to continue to do that. We got to continue to pray. We got to continue to work. And we got to continue to work on others. Amen. Seeing Mira up here Sunday night, praying, seeking the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's just a matter of time. God will fill her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not hiding this thing in a corner. We're not hiding this thing in a corner. Amen. We're not just, amen, this isn't some secret society that's, amen, that we come and congregate and close everything up and we are who we are and stuff. No, we want the whole world to know about this. We want the world to know that we're in love with Jesus and that Jesus is in love with us and that He meets with us here and He has helped us and He can help them as well. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Magnify Him today. Praise God. And so just humanity begins when things begin to get tight and when things begin to surface, when problems arise and issues come about and start happening and stuff. Humanity desires to look among us and find somebody and something that we can see and point our fingers at it and say, well, something must be wrong here.
It's easy to point your fingers and to say, well, something's wrong in the young people, and that's why you're not seeing people come in and feel the church completely full. It's easy to point your finger at somebody and say, well, it's their problem over there. They got a bad attitude. It's easy to point your finger at the pulpit and say, well, amen, there must be something wrong with the pastor because they're not having revival. There's something wrong with that church because more people are leaving than are coming in. Amen. You know what kind of talk that is? That's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's what that is. I'm just going to call it like it is. That's foolishness. It's demonic. Amen. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Amen. Brother Josh, if something happens here, amen, and people aren't receiving the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to blame you for it. You know what I'm going to ask you to do is help me pray about this. Let's push our way through this. Let's get through this and have revival. Amen. But let's flip this around and let's talk reality. Amen. That every time revival shows up on the horizon, the devil shows up on the horizon too. Every time the church gets, it don't have to be New Life Tabernacle, Augusta, Kansas. Every time the church gets close to revival, amen, the devil comes in and begins to stir things up in the church. Begins to stir up dissension. Begins to stir up attitudes. Begins to stir up old feelings. Old spirits, old emotions, amen, begin to rise up. Things begin to happen. People become discontented. Amen. Confusion comes into the place. Amen. Things happen. Some people leave. Other people come in. Amen. But that ought not to be able to stop an apostolic church that is on place. Amen. And on pace to have a revival. As a matter of fact, that ought to fire us up. As a matter of fact, it ought to intensify our worship. Ought to intensify our prayers. Ought to intensify our witnessing. Ought to intensify, amen, the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, why? I know I'm on to something. I know I'm getting close to something. When the devil starts messing around, God is ready to start pouring out His Spirit. I don't want to see anybody leave. I don't want to see anybody go. Amen. Everybody going to make their own choices and do their own thing. Amen. But I am saying I want revival. I want revival. I want to see people come into this church and find Jesus. I want to see them bring their families in. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, somebody's going to come into this place and they're going to find Jesus and they're going to walk out the doors and they're going to go tell their big family, and their big family's going to see a change that has happened in them, and they're going to bring that big family and they're going to all come in, and one after another they're going to start praying through, and we're going to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. We consider the book of Acts a revival. Amen. A revival church. Amen. Go ahead and be seated and let me read to you for a little while about this revival church. Amen. And let's find out the reality of revival. Amen. The devil has always opposed God and His people, even since before Adam and Eve. But when you begin to look through the early days of the church, it shows us that we in 2020 should expect no difference. As a matter of fact, it seems if things are going a little bit too easy, then we really are not being effective as we can be. Amen. I said if things are going too easy, it's time to back up and to reevaluate. Am I praying like I need to pray? Are we having church like we need to have church? Amen. Is things going like it needs to go? Let's read about this book of Acts, church. Opened up after the end of the Gospels, and the death of Jesus Christ was accompanied by great sorrow. Every one of the disciples walked away, went back to doing their old thing when Jesus was crucified. Peter's out there fishing naked. Thomas won't even come see after the resurrection. They're all a miserable lot. because of what has happened. Amen. But because of what happened, the greatest revival recorded in Scripture with 3,000. I know there was more that got the Holy Ghost, but this is the first, the beginning. Because of what happened, amen, there's 3,100, amen, and 20 that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. There was great opposition, but when they broke through the opposition, the reality of revival came because of that. Amen. Others mockingly said, these men are full of new wine. The same day, 3,000 souls are added unto the church. And Peter stands up and says, this is the way that it ought to be, and that God is going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter number 4. Amen. Verse number 4. We see that God added 5,000 men unto the church. What a revival. But if we go back just a couple of verses from Acts 4:4 and we begin to read about 1 through 3, we would see that the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees took hold of the disciples and put them in prison. Amen. There was adversity that came to the church. But once the adversity came, there was 5,000 people that received the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:21, Peter and John were threatened to not speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But in verse number 32, a multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 40, the apostles were beaten and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the following chapter number 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says that the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 1. There was great persecution upon the church. But in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, the Bible said that the churches were multiplied. In Acts chapter number 10 and 9 through 22, pressure is put upon Peter to get up out of his comfort zone. And when he does, Acts 10 and 44 happens. And the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them that heard the word. In Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19, persecution arose upon the church. And then two verses later, a great number of people believed, and much people were added unto the Lord. Amen. Acts 13 and 8, Elymas the sorcerer withstood the church. Amen. And Acts 13 and 45, in Antioch, when the Jews saw the multitude listening to Paul and Barnabas, they were filled with envy and spoke against the things that were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. But in the very next chapter in Acts 14, we see that revival comes to Iconium, and a great multitude of both Jews and also Greeks that believed. Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 39, preceded by strong disagreement among Paul and Barnabas. But in the next chapter 16 and verse number 5, churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Are you getting tired about hearing revival? Acts chapter number 18, verses 5 through 6. Paul was opposed by the Jews. But in Acts 18 and 8, just two verses later, there was revival among the Corinthians. In Acts 17 and 5, pressure and persecution was put upon the believers. But in verse number 11 of the same chapter, there is revival in Thessalonica. Amen. It was revival, revival, revival to many churches. And it was always preceded by problems, adversity, and pressure. But the church didn't falter. The church didn't give up. The church didn't back up. The church didn't sit down, amen, and just decide to let things cool off. The church intensified. They kept preaching. And as they preached, the pressure broke. The problems dissipated. Amen. All these things began to disappear. And God began to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, church, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't get your eyes on the problem. Don't get your eyes on the things, amen, that negatively have happened. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't let the devil destroy your faith. Don't let the devil diminish your faith. Keep praying like you've been praying. Keep worshiping like you've been worshiping. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And revival is coming. There is a revival that is on the horizon. There is a revival of people that have never set foot in an apostolic church. On top of that, I feel in the Holy Ghost, there is a revival of backsliders. There is a revival that backsliders are going to come into this church and find their way to an altar, and God's going to renew them in the Holy Ghost. But it's only going to happen as long as the church continues to fight the good fight of faith. Let's love him today. I'm going to tell you, the problem is with some churches, amen, when they neglect the revival that God has given, amen, it is totally 100% their focus. Because when you begin to focus upon the things that you see, when you begin to focus upon the things that you read, when you begin to focus upon the things that happen at work, when you begin to focus upon the things that happen in this world, it is very, very, very depressive. But when you do as he said, look up, look up. When you get your eyes off of worldly things, when you get your eyes off of the problems of this world, and when you get your eyes upon Jesus, depression is the last thing that you're going to have. You're going to be impressed rather than depressed. You're going to be impressed about the Master. You're going to be impressed with his miracles. You're going to be impressed by his faithfulness. You're going to be impressed by the things of God. Amen. You just got to keep looking up. You've got to keep your eyes upon Jesus. Here was Paul in a jail cell, and he was writing unto the church in Corinthians, and in Corinth for at least the second time, if not the third time. And some scholars believe that there is another letter of Corinthians that was before even the first one. But nevertheless, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing unto the church, and he let them know, considering the pressures and the problems that he faced. But in doing so, he wasn't patting himself upon the back. He was letting them know that in due season they will reap if they faint not. He said, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. Night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, amen, in perils, amen, in the wilderness and in the sea, among false brethren, weariness and painfulness often, amen, hunger and thirst and fastings often, cold and nakedness, beside all of those things that are without, amen, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of the church. And then he said it like this: who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? Am I not burnt out? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king kept the city of the Damascus. with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. But through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped by his hands. He wrote all of this to the church, encouraging the church. Paul never stopped. Amen. Beaten, shipwrecked, and he still's encouraging somebody. Hey, you've got it in you. You can do it. Amen. These things only last for but a moment. Amen. Get your eyes upon Jesus. There is a revival to be had. I'm preaching to the church here in Augusta, Kansas. There is a revival. There is a revival. There are people that God wants to fill with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are pews that already have their names upon them that God is ready to draw and to pull them in. It's not His will that any of them should perish. God just needs a church that'll stand in spite of pressure, in spite of problems, amen, through the reality of it, because revival is on the way. Let's stand here tonight. And so in our text, Paul has a plan. He has a plan. I'm going to Rome. And I'm going to give my story there. I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And being in that ship, the winter time was about them. And the captain says, we're going to launch forward. Holy Ghost dealt with Paul. And Paul says, no, let's not. For I perceive that there will be great loss if we do this. The captain looked at Paul and said, excuse me? Who are you? What credentials do you have about sailing ships? What expertise do you have about sailing ships? Paul said, I don't have any, but I just feel of God. The captain said, I think we'll go on. And so they did. And the winds began to blow. The storm assailed and drove that ship into a sandbar. And they were stuck. But the winds beat the back of that boat and beat it to pieces, and it broke apart. And they had already thrown over the prophet. All the commodities that was down in the basin, they threw it all over. Some tried to escape, and the preacher stood up and said, hey, if you'll stay on board the boat, you'll be saved. But if you leave, you're gonna die. And so everybody, they cut the boats loose. They threw everything over, all the extra weight. They threw it all overboard. And they hung on for dear life. And they hit a sandbar and stuck fast. And the waves beat the back of that boat to pieces, and it broke apart. And they were afraid they were all going to die. And the guards are going to kill all the prisoners. And somebody willing to save Paul said, no, let's just hang tight. Let's all swim to land. There's people that can't swim. If you can't swim, why don't you grab a hold of a broken piece? Get a hold of something and make it to land. If you can swim, then let's go. But if you can't, get a hold of something. You know, because there are those that can swim. But there are those that are going to struggle. But if you get a hold of something, and there's plenty to get a hold of. Get a hold of the Word of God. Get a hold of faith. Get a hold of doctrine. Get a hold of something, and you'll make it. And can you imagine if I was Paul? I know what I'd be thinking. What's all of this? I had great ambition to go to Rome. I so wanted to give my testimony. This is not the way that I planned it. And here's God up in the heaven looking down through the clouds and saying, hush, Paul. Hush, Paul. You don't see what's getting ready to happen. All I see is a broken boat. All I see is wind and waves. tossed to and fro. And here we are stuck in the middle of no man's land. That's all that I see. God said, I understand, Paul. But just keep looking up. I'll show you. And here they made it onto this land, and all of a sudden these barbarians come out. What now? These barbarians come out and grab them. They said, come with us. And they took them inland, and they built a fire. Well, I don't understand all of this yet, but at least they haven't ate us. Built a fire, and everybody's warm, and everybody's drying out. Paul looks around, and he says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. I'll get some wood. And so he went to go get some wood, and he grabbed some wood, and he went over there. And just let me say it like this. He threw that wood on a lukewarm Pentecostal church where the serpent was content enough and comfortable enough just to stay in the fire. Fire wasn't hot enough to consume that old spirit. Nobody saw that spirit lurking there in the fire, just warming himself and content. But Paul was going to crank it up a few notches. And he threw the fire. He threw the wood on the fire. And that viper didn't like what he was doing. And here comes that viper out. Latches onto his hand. And everybody steps back and says, ooh, he's a dead man. It's over, preacher. You thought you were doing good, but it's over. Paul took that viper and shook it back out into the fire. Killed it. Everybody kind of stands around watching. We're going to see something here. Chances are he's fixing to die. But after a while, Paul's not dead. A few more hours, Paul isn't dead. Somebody says, oh, he's a pretty good guy. Let's take him over here to Publius, the leader. Where there's disease. They tell Paul, come on. We got somebody we want you to pray for. And Paul goes in and revival breaks out. Miracles begin to happen. All because a storm didn't let them sail past the revival. Some things that are perceived as negative, God says, slow down. I got a revival right here. And it may shake, and it may feel like it's breaking apart. But God's got a revival in it somewhere. I've just read through almost the entire book of Acts with you tonight. About how that opposition come and tried to suppress the church. But when the church wouldn't be suppressed, revival blossomed into something beautiful. Thousands filled, multitudes filled, great works done, people baptized, Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost. And it's because the devil knows they're on to something. It's the reality of revival. God knows where he's taking you, and the devil sees what's happening, and the devil's going to huff and puff and try to blow the church down. But this church was built upon the rock, and he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So be not afraid, little flock. Great is our reward in heaven, but God's got us here for a purpose and for such a time as this. And if there was no purpose, if there was no revival to be had,
then God would just take us all home. It'd be finished. But we're still here. So let's have revival until Jesus comes. Amen? Praise God. Do I have anybody here that's ready to do that? I have somebody here, amen, that's ready to say, God, I will be what you want me to be. God, I'll teach home Bible studies if that's what you want. God, I'll be a witness. God, I'll be a prayer warrior. God, I'll be faithful. God, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be everything that you want me to be, God. Everything. My desire, oh God, passionately, is to be effective. I want to be a positive influence on somebody's life. I want to make a difference between heaven and hell in somebody's life. I want to be the reason why somebody is not lost and they go to heaven. I want it to be because that I influenced them. I reached out to them. I invited them to church. I insisted upon a Bible study. I pressed. I prayed for them. I fasted for them. I did everything that I could do for them. I wanted to see them saved. I had a love for them. I had a passion for them. I couldn't stand seeing them be lost. Some of you need to pray that. Some of you need to pray, God, oh God, God, Lord, give me a vision. Let me see them lost. Let me see them die in a devil's hell because that I didn't do anything. Let it affect me, God, to where I will do something, God. Oh God, open up heaven and let me see it. Let me see them in heaven. Oh God, open up hell and let me see into the depths of it, Lord. Oh, that I would never be the same. That my prayers would never be static. My prayers would never be, amen, below par. Oh, God. But my prayers would be effective. My prayers would do what they need to do, God. I wouldn't just pray as I've prayed aforetime, God, but I'd get sincere in prayer. I'd pray until all of hell turns loose. And when hell intensifies, it's going to show me I'm on the right track. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to fast for them, God, but I got to see somebody saved. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to be effective in somebody's life. I want this church to be effective in this city. Oh, God. Oh, God. Those that I'm connected with, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me, God. Lord, to see them lost for eternity if I don't do something about it, God. Oh, I've got to be stirred. I've got to be moved. I've got to be changed. Hallelujah. Use me, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll be what you've called me to be. I'll reach out, Jesus. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it, Jesus.